Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Visions of the Past, a show that brings you news and discoveries from around the world and how it relates to paganism. Now here's your host, William Brigley.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Visions of the Past on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. I hope everyone is doing well. I want to thank everyone for tuning in once again. And if you do miss a show or have any ideas or suggestions for upcoming shows, please, by all means, feel free to visit my Visions of the Past Facebook page. For those of you who are new listeners, on this show, my intent is to encourage people to think, conduct self-research from reliable sources, and most of all, become aware of the true stories of our ancestors. As many of us know, there are often a lot of misconceptions, especially within social media, websites, and other sources that are not so reliable. My goal is to help provide people with the tools to help them curb this issue and others they may face. If you've listened to the show before, you know how I like to explore different regions of the world. For this episode, we're traveling to Japan. I picked this location for this discussion because this is a story of yet another nation with a polytheistic past, even into present day. As usual, I'll be posting my references on the Visions of the Past Facebook page with the archive after the show. I'm going to begin this episode with the importance of polytheism in Japan and to its society. But what better way to begin than to look at the long historic traditions of the emperor himself? But first, let's hear one of my favorite songs by Dragon Ritual Drummers called The Maiden and the Dragon. We'll be right back, folks.
Thank you.
are listening to Visions of the Past with William Brigley on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for listening. And now, back to William.
Welcome back. That was Dragon Ritual Drummers and their song, The Maiden and the Dragon. One of the many great bands here on CERN. Getting back on our topic, although Japan today does have a prime minister who heads up the cabinet and government, the emperor is seen as a diplomatic leader, yet having very little in the way of political power, which is reserved for the prime minister, but is rather a position that is now mostly very powerful and symbolic to the unity of the Japanese people. Historically, the Japanese founding myths collection in a volume known as the Kujiki, written in 712 CE. The Kujiki, also known as the Record of Ancient Matters, tell us of the formation of the Japanese islands and the founding of human society. Another text is the Kihon Shoki, or the Chronicles of Japan, dating to 720 CE. One of the most important stories in the Kojiki is the story of the sun goddess Amaterasu, who is still considered the most important deity in Japan and the ancestor of the imperial family. She is the goddess of the sun, but also of the universe and fertility. Her name derives from Amaterasu, meaning shining in heaven, and is but one of several important deities of Japan that I'll be discussing later in the show. We'll kick things off with visiting what's known as the Ise Shrine, which is the chief place of worship of Amaterasu. According to Japanese popular belief, the Ise Shrine Complex is the holiest shrine in Japan and is located in Ise City, Honshu. The shrine itself is composed of two similar complexes, the earliest of which is said to date from the 3rd century and is called the Neku, or Inner Shrine, which is dedicated to the sun goddess herself. Here, Amaterasu is represented by a sacred mirror, one of the three imperial regalia objects, which are symbolic of the divine authority of the imperial family. The other two being a jeweled necklace and a sword. Legend holds that the inner shrine dates from when Princess Yamatoahime, daughter of Emperor Suninin, was searching for a final resting place for the sacred mirror. When she reached Ise in 4 BCE, she heard the voice of Amaterasu saying, "This is a good place, and I will like to stay here." So here we have a legend of direct communication between the goddess and royalty. The second complex, entitled Geku, or Outer Shrine, is located about 6 kilometers, or 3.7 miles, away. Built in the 5th century CE, this shrine is for Toyoki no Okami, the grain goddess. As well, here at the Ise Shrine, many Shinto roles are filled by women, such as priests. From the 7th to the 14th century CE, the shrine's minister position, too, was filled by a woman who was also a member of the imperial household. Interesting about this particular shrine is that every 20 years, the buildings are torn down and new ones are built on an immediately adjacent site. In this way, the Shinto reveal their understanding of nature, which does not make monuments, but rather lives and dies, always renewed and reborn. In other words, death and resurrection. As with most beliefs, the Kojiki begins with the Japanese creation myth during the period known as Kamiyo, the Age of the Gods. The two most important creator deities are Izanagi and his sister Izanami. According to the myths, they made the islands of Japan, as well as many of the gods and goddesses. Izanagi and Izanami also appear in a story about the descent to Yomitsu Kenai, a land of darkness and death associated with the underworld. It's said that Amaterasu was born from Izanagi when he used water to purify his left eye after a visit to the netherworld. Another source said she was born after intercourse between Izanagi and Izanami. According to Japanese myth, Amaterasu sent her grandson Ninigi to Earth to establish an eternal dynasty. Descending on the western island of Kyushu, Ninigi wed an earthly deity and built a palace where his line ruled for three generations. Ninigi's great-grandson, Jimmu, moved the government eastward. Leading an army, he fought his way into the heart of the Yamato region with the help from heavenly deities, sent in the form of a sacred bird whose splendor was so dazzling it rendered his enemies helpless. Jimmu became the first Japanese emperor. This story is the direct lineage between the sun goddess and the emperor. Emperor thereafter claims descendant from Jimmu, thus the goddess. I bet most of us are used to people tending to either question our beliefs, looking at you funny, or tell you how wrong you are when you say you worship a goddess, goddess and god, or multiple deities. Yet here we have the symbolic and diplomatic leader of an entire country whose beliefs link him and his family directly to a goddess and a society where polytheism is very much alive and well. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we are going to look a little deeper into the diverse Japanese mythology, its legends, and a few other important locations. So let's play a little Jenna Green and her song, Phoenix. We'll be right back.
Rise up, Phoenix, rise from the fire. Rise up, Phoenix, strong forever. gold. Now you have the power to heal, just as the legend is told. You can set out again, touch your dreams and desires. With a new wisdom, fortune be mixed by.
Listening to Visions of the Past with William Brigley on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for listening. And now, back to William.
Welcome back, everyone. That was Jenna Green and her song, Phoenix. Again, I want to thank everyone for tuning into the show. And for those just tuning in, you are listening to Visions of the Past here on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We are discussing the polytheistic beliefs of Japan. Before the break, we talked about Amaterasu being the ancestor of the emperor and the imperial family. We also discussed Izanagi and his sister Izanami being the two creator deities. If you missed the first part of the show, no worries. You can always listen to the archives found either on the Visions of the Past or on our website at www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org. No matter how you tune in, your time with us is always very much appreciated. For those who have tuned into the show before, you probably know how I like to include an archaeological aspect in whatever topic I'm discussing. For that, I would like to discuss the discovery of the tomb of Queen Himiko in Sakurai, near the ancient capital of Nara in central Japan. Queen Himiko is believed to have been descended from the goddess Amaterasu as well, and the present emperor descended from her. She may have also held the ceremonial role of a shaman priestess. The only problem is that this discovery cannot be confirmed. The Imperial Household Agency, representing graves associated with the imperial line, strictly forbids archaeologists from accessing any imperial burial mounds on the grounds that they are graves of private people and cannot be disturbed. So we don't currently know if this is her or not. Only clue is that the burial mound is much larger than any other one made in that era. This is one issue that has stirred up quite a controversy in Japanese society. Respecting the imperial family's privacy rights, or unlocking Japan's buried history. It is certainly a fine line to walk, and surely there have been valuable points made on either side. Although there have been public calls for greater access to these sites, there is little unity on whether or not the sites should be excavated. It poses a problem for finding real, tangible evidence supporting the existing texts. If we look further into Japanese mythology, we also find that everything in nature contains kami, or a deity or spirit. It was upon Amaterasu's birth that her father Izanagi bestowed upon her a necklace of jewels and placed her in charge of the high celestial plane. This was believed to be the abode of all kami. Turns out that the Japanese pantheon is absolutely enormous, with possibly millions of different spirits and deities, depending on the source of information, region, or tradition. This is polytheism at its finest. It is totally acceptable to believe in many manifestations of the divine, deities, or spirits. Throughout Japan, you'll also find several major deities appear in a variety of significant roles in a number of stories from different regions. Two of which are Amaterasu's brothers, Soiki Yami, the moon god, and Susanoo, a powerful god often associated with storms. Of the two brothers, Susanoo is more predominant within mythological roles, appearing in numerous major legends, including several with Amaterasu. Located in the town of Taishei in northern Japan, we also find Izumo Shrine. Shrine is dedicated to Okuninushi, a descendant, if not the son, of Susanoo, and is one of the most ancient shrines in all of Japan. The Kujiki, or Record of Ancient Matters, describes the mythological origins of the shrine as being when Okuninushi was developing the world of mortal man, Nainiji, grandson of the sun goddess Amaterasu, descends to the earth. Okuninushi then gives over temporal rule of the land to Nainiji in exchange for control over divine affairs. The sun goddess was so pleased by this gift to her grandson that she had the shrine erected in Okuninushi's name on the Izumo site. Traditionally, he is regarded as being the god of marriage, good fortune, and agriculture. With that, we are going to take another break here, but when we come back, we are going to visit the gateway to the Japanese underworld and where it is located today. For now, let's hear a little Tawathadeya with Spirit Rhythm in their song, Akasha. We'll be right back.
Oh,
are listening to Visions of the Past with William Brigley on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for listening. And now, back to William.
Welcome back, everyone. That was Tuatha De Yu with Spirit Rhythm and their song, Akasha. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in and those who choose to listen to the archives. And whether during the show or in the archive, I'd love to see your comments on this topic and any others I have discussed. Like usual, I will be including links to the sites that I've obtained my information from, so if you're interested, you'll be able to view the research also. For a complete lineup of the shows airing on the network and to learn more about our hosts, visit spiritualunityradionetwork.org. We also have Reverend Terry's website at revterrypowerhp.com. And for our listeners, our shows airing every week here at CERN at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time are on Tuesdays. We have Reverend Terry's Power Hours, Under a Shady Tree. On Friday is Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health. On Sunday, we have Sacred Divergence Radio. And on Monday, you're back with me again for another episode of Visions of the Past. Before the break, I mentioned the Japanese underworld, and it goes by the name of Yomotsu Hirasaka. The entrance is a real location said to be in the Aya area of Matsu, just off of Route 9 for those tourists listening. There you will find the Aya Shrine. Details on this myth, we refer back to the Kojiki, again, Records of Ancient Matters, and Izanagi and Izanami, the first male and female pair of gods to be born. One of the responsibilities they had been to create the deities that would populate the heavens and earth. Everything went well for them at first. They created the gods of the sea, the winds, the trees, the fields, and the mountains were all born at this time. Then Izanami Kugatsuki, and she suffered horrible burns that caused her to fall ill and eventually die. Following this tragedy, Izanagi is said to have buried Izanami on Mount Hiba, and her spirit descended into the underworld. Izanagi, missing her terribly, decides to make the journey to the underworld to bring her back. He followed the dark path to its gates where Izanami came out to greet him. Izanagi wants her to return with him to complete the creation of the world, but she claims that because she has already eaten food from the underworld, she cannot. Upon second thought, she decides to ask the Lord of the Land for permission to leave, since Izanagi traveled so far to get her back. Izanami asks him to wait for him there while she asks permission to leave. After a long time, Izanagi gets impatient. He then creates a torch from a comb he had in his hair and then enters the underworld. When he at last found her, he was shocked by her appearance. She was rotting and crawling with maggots, and eight hideous gods of thunder were hanging onto her body. Terrified, Izanagi decided to flee from the underworld back to the land of the living. Upon making it back, Izanagi seals the door to the underworld with a large boulder. Several large boulders lay in the area of Aya Shrine to this day. So one could wonder exactly which one was the legendary one rolled over to block the entrance. Also near this area is a slope that is said to be the same slope that led to the underworld's entrance. This was the beginning of the separation of the earth and the underworld. Located on the Awaji Island is the Izignagi Shrine. The island is believed to have been the first area of Japan created by the divine creators, and the shrine itself is where they lived out the remainder of their days as mortals after completing their tasks of creating all of Japan. Many of these myths and legends are not just simply writings found in texts, but rather inspired numerous styles of music and dance throughout the country. Japan is truly a fine example of myth and legend blending with culture and society, as well being a place where polytheism is allowed to flourish along with other beliefs through its multiculturalism. If you are interested in more of these myths and legends, I encourage you to check out a copy of the Kujiki or the Kihon Shoki. Or if you are a tourist, there are numerous shrines dedicated to not just the few deities I mentioned during the show, but many others as well. I do hope you enjoyed this episode, and do tune in for next week's episode. If you have any comments, suggestions, or ideas, please don't hesitate to post them on my Visions of the Past Facebook page. Until next time, folks, may you blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.